We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We got AJ, we got Eric, we got Rudo coming to you live on an Avalanche off day. The Avs win streak might be dead, but Nathan McKinnon's point streak is still alive, and that's enough for me. Yeah. Gets me through the day. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about cup contenders in the NHL, what makes them different, what makes them, some might even say, special, or what makes them frauds. Why not? Do a little bit of a fraud watch hate max. Get our hate max on.
Yeah. Fraud watch is on in full bloom right now.
The F word, buddy.
Some teams are fraudulent. It's becoming clear. Before we get into all that, though, the Avalanche news of the day, Val Nichushkin nursing some type of lower body injury. It does not sound particularly serious, but AJ, I know particularly you could add up the numbers given his play as of late.
Yeah, he's been bad.
He has
so, you know, it makes sense. It tracks that they would be like, yeah, by the way, he's got a little something going on because he's been bad.
Yeah.
He's such a reliable, high impact guy all over the ice in multiple facets of the game. That
rare to see him struggle, particularly these last two games.
Rare
to see him struggle as much as he has.
He's been bad. I just have not. Kept waiting and waiting and waiting and yike.
Yeah.
His body language was tough. I remember we talked about that yesterday. He was slamming a stick. And, you know, so when you do that, usually it's because there's A, you're not feeling it. You know what I mean? Or yeah. B, you know, you're not playing well or you have an injury. You know what I mean? So that's
a little bit of both.
Perhaps. Obviously, yeah, everything adds up right now. You know, kind of makes sense.
Eric, I'm curious your thoughts on this situation, because the Avs are in a push to potentially win the Central Division, potentially win the Western Conference.
Potentially win the President's Trophy.
You're not wrong. I might be a little bit tougher to catch some of those East Coast teams.
It is now.
You, in a situation like this, would you rather see the Avs play their guys maybe a little bit through some stuff? Or would you rather see them rested and be ready to go for game one of the playoffs? Even if that means you might be a road team in the playoffs.
Probably a little bit of both. I'm going to use the Adrian answer. A little bit of both, you know. because
you guys,
I know,
swear to God.
I know. But it, I mean, if it's got, you know what, the best guys is they know their own bodies. And some guys, I mean, I play with guys that couldn't play through pain. And I play with guys that you're like, holy shit. Like, you're really playing through this. You know what I mean? So, because you kind of, everybody feels differently, yeah, you know? So I think that you can't be stupid because, you know, A, you're in the playoffs. B, you want to get the best seed you can, right? You know, you want to try to avoid that.
Yep.
But you're not going to kill yourself to get there. You know what I mean? Right? So if it means that guys can sit, like, let's say Val, you know, miss a few games, who knows? But they have enough depth to, you know, overcome stuff. I mean, you know, and you should be able to, and it gives everybody an opportunity to step up a little bit more too, right? We talk about it all the time. So So that's why I say a little bit of both. You know what I mean? So yep. A little sprinkle here and there. You know what I mean? Go from there. A little yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, man. Everybody loves sprinkles.
You know?
Everybody also loves yeah, yeah.
True. Yeah. I sure do.
He's on the ones and twos today.
Yeah, yeah, can be a little hit and miss.
So I got my wife on the perfect day and she just got hooked. All it takes is one good interaction, baby.
That's true.
Yep, can confirm.
yeah, yeah. Yeah. One good interaction.
Just one.
I do think it's an interesting conversation, though. And obviously, in the perfect world, you rest your guys and you still win the division or the conference or whatever it is you're chasing. But you
know, like 2 years ago, and they were just giving guys the entire week off. And
but in a world where the Avs are in the middle of that race, where they have games against Dallas and Winnipeg coming up.
Oh, you control your destiny. I mean, you do.
Oh, totally. That's but you may have to make a decision on a, should we play an 80% Valanciunas and risk him getting injured more, or do we just rest him and live with the consequences of that?
The question, I think that answer is easier to know if you know the specifics of the injury.
Yeah, exactly.
I would hope Bednar has a better read on it than we do.
Yeah. Sure. Well, and it's kind of like that scene from Miracle of, will it get worse if he plays on it?
Yep.
You know, is it just a toughness thing? Will it get worse if he plays on it? And that's like the question for Val right now would be, and any of the other guys that might be nursing something, which is all of them at this point in the season. If it's going to get, if there's like a real possibility that it gets significantly worse,
then you definitely don't do it.
Don't do it. But if it's more just like, yeah, it'll slow the recovery, but he can gut this out, and then do it.
Well, the Avs are in an awkward situation with this too, right? Because in a ideal, I mean, there's no ideal world where anyone gets hurt, but in a more ideal world than the one that we're living in, okay, Val's injured, drop Nikolai Kovalenko in and see what happens.
Yeah.
But Kovalenko is still not ready to go either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're left with this weird lineup situation. And you said, I think Kiviranta is sick too. Yeah. So you
Gerard really, and Kiviranta both sick today.
The whole team's been sick for 3 months. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you're left in a situation where the Avs really don't have a 13th forward on the roster at this moment.
Yeah, but yeah. You get your four call. I mean,
A call up, sure. Yeah. But it's just a weird situation where.
It's so easy to get an emergency, so you don't even have to burn one of those.
It's not a big deal. It's just odd that the Avs have ended up with a situation where they may need a call up and all of the options they may want to use are not readily available.
This is also where the Eagles schedule helps them because the Eagles are just doing nothing.
True. They're sitting around.
They're doing nothing and the Avs are at home for the next couple of games. So
just drive down the highway, buddy.
Yeah, honestly, they should be calling up Wags and just be like,
yeah, that's what I would do.
You know.
Let it ride.
Put Parise in Natushkin's spot. YOLO.
Yeah, that was my next question. You throw Parise on the second line?
Yeah, I'm not putting Miles Wood there. That guy.
That's true.
Yeah.
Call up Wagner. You think about throwing Colton on a wing on the second line or something, though?
No.
Just asking.
No, Rudo.
Yeah, don't disrupt everything. You know what I mean? I would plug in.
I would put Parise there, and I would put Wags at 4C, and I would move Trent into the right wing.
Sure.
Next to Wood and Colton.
It's the most straightforward way to solve the whole
thing. You're welcome. I'm a genius.
Must be nice.
Sometimes. It's a double-edged sword.
But you look good. Look good. My beard will be back by tomorrow, 5 p.m.
Do you want some of mine?
Yeah, no.
Just trim it up. Stick it on your face.
Don't. No, women can't know that men can do that. Right? We can't tell them. All right? It's a secret.
Yeah.
No, but that is the Avs news of the day is they're managing a Val Nichushkin injury. I don't think it's anything to really think about. Again, they said it not a serious concern or anything. So should be a short term thing.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I just don't trust the staff after the last couple of years.
Watching them day-to-day people for 4 weeks.
Yeah, Logan O'Connor was day-to-day, and then we woke up, and he's out for the season.
Yeah.
And you're just like,
what?
okay. Like, I, and it's not the first time it's happened. They've had guys go through multiple surgeries on the same ailments.
Yeah.
It's just like, I just don't trust them.
Understandably so. Eric.
Do you have training staff and the media is the most abusive relationship in my life right now?
I'm curious your thoughts on that situation, Eric, because you're an actual player. There's a couple arguments I hear about the injury conversation, right?
Yeah.
There are other professional leagues that have very specific injury arguments that, that, you know, whether it be sports betting or for whatever reason, you have to specifically say injury timelines at very least, and most of them are actual injuries.
Yeah.
You've been out on the ice. You've played with injuries. Do guys out there actually try to abuse if they know you have a bad knee or something? Are they chopping you on the knee? Is it something you think the league should protect?
Well, we're not savage. I mean, guys aren't savages. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? But sure. You have a bad shoulder. You're their best player. I'm playing against you a 4 out of 7 series. I'm going to finish my checks on you.
Sure.
Because that should be what you're trying to do. Forget about the bad shoulder. You're their best player, but I know you have bad shoulder. So finish your check on him. I didn't say he legal checks. I'm saying finish your check on him. Just bury him down. After 2 weeks of that, like, you're going to feel it. And you're going to be beat up. You know what I mean? So I don't necessarily think that's targeting. I think it's more like human nature of it. So that's why I say,
just playing the game, man.
Yeah, I just.
If you know a guy has like a bum ankle and you spend the entire series like
chopping away.
Yeah, like lumberjacking his ankles, that's
a problem.
I don't think you'd do that, but you're going to play hard like Val does, or like he does on a face off. You're hard to play against. You're a pain in the ass. Like,
yeah.
You make it tough on the guy, you know what I mean? Because you know he's not 100%. But I don't know. I there's parts of me that, as a player, would like, you know, I don't need to tell you that I got a bad wrist. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
I was the guy, and I know there's still a lot of guys like that. Like, what now with this is so crazy, but, you know, back then it was more a pen and paper and it was a list. And I have a cold today. Like, you know, again, here's what it does. It gives players a built-in excuse if things don't go right. That's how I've always looked at it that way. Bit of an older school guy, you know, I didn't want to be on that list because you don't want to lose your job. And I know with concussions and everything, obviously this took a life of its own a little bit.
Concussion is a bit of a different.
Perfect. I don't want you guys to be like, oh my God, he's that guy. Like, no, but okay. Concussion is probably different, but we didn't know what a concussion was back then.
It was
then.
Just different.
Back. Have a Diet Coke and a freaking Advil and keep going. You're fine. And okay. You know what I mean? Like, you know, but now it's a little different, which I agree with. But for me to go and tell the trainer, like, oh, I'm a little bit under the weather. You know, for me, it's a built-in excuse. And it is, and I always want to be where I'm going to give it my all. And I feel that I'm intelligent enough to know that if my best is not good and it's hindering the team, then I'm going to pull myself out. You know what I mean? So that's the way I looked at it. That's why I like the privacy of, I don't need to tell you anything. I don't need to tell the media. I don't need to tell the other team. You know what I mean? So sure. It's kind of more that way, you know what I mean? But, you know, but I get it. And especially now with betting and everything, I think football is like, there's so much betting and legal sports betting. I think you ought to know like who's hurt, who's not hurt. And you're going to say maybe about hockey too, you know, and I get it. But when it comes down to being like a physical sport, like it's not golf, you know what I mean? Like, but golf is
sup
so
golfers.
No, but I mean, I love golf. Golf, it's so skilled, and you know, but the guy has a freaking ACL injury. You know what I mean? Like, it's like maybe I'm not gonna bet on him. You know, where hockey is, there's a contact aspect to it. That's the part that I feel hurt a little bit, and I'm not saying, oh, AJ, I'm going to go out. I'm going to rip his head off. You know, well, I mean, you want to rip his head off anyway because you want to compete against him, so to speak. I don't want to rip your head off, but you know what I mean. So I just feel the injuries are just – they're just tough to navigate. I don't think there's a right or wrong. You know what I mean? And it's hard to follow. But you're right. Some teams are a little more vague than others, and, you know, and it makes it frustrating, you know.
When you have the abs, which is like day to day. Who knows?
Yeah. Then you have That's what I mean. Everybody's got their lingo. Yeah. Every team's different.
Well, when you have a team like Vegas where it's like, yeah, you don't know anything's wrong with the guy, and then the guy just is on IR one day.
Disappears for 2 months.
And then you get no updates on him, and then the guy's off IR one day, and he's at morning skate, and he's going to play that day. And you're just like,
what is happening?
What is this organization?
I know. But I get it.
It would be it would be nice to have some level of consistency across the
board. My only request has always been, I don't need to know if a guy has an MCL sprain or an ACL sprain or he tore his PCL or whatever. I don't care about that. Just give me an accurate timeline.
I know.
That's my like, if whatever is bothering Val right now is, hey, this could be up to 10 days.
Yeah.
Great. But this like day to day, which is so murky and turns into week to week. Like, a guy's day to day. Which one of us isn't?
Yeah.
We're all day to day. We all wake up and especially when you get into your 30s, you roll over and you're like, oh, I tweaked my back getting out of bed. Like, everybody's day to day. Stop it.
You know what? We talked about it. I'm going to jump in right now. We talked about it yesterday, or the three of us. Why don't we just get like Pat Carnes, former athletic trainer, for the Avs for so many years, the first 12, 13, 14 years of his existence. And that would be a great conversation. You know what I mean? Like, not from the player perspective, but from the team perspective. You know
how
I mean?
They see it.
And then it'd probably say, like, well, my boss, my dad, like, well, I don't know. I don't remember back then. I'm just trying to say. Yeah. I'm sure he would say that. Like, this is what we have, and then this is how we did it. This is how we operate. This is how they operate now.
Yeah.
That'd be a fun conversation. That'd be a good guest to have. So I'm sure he's going to oblige.
The way that I feel about it now is it is the bullshit.
Yeah, I gotcha. The bullshit.
That is how I feel about it.
Kay and Chad is emotionally day to day. She needs the service dogs that were at the morning skate or practice today. So
yeah, we got to save that for later so Eric can tell his story.
Oh, I was going to have him tell it now.
You want to do it now?
Yeah.
I'm a dog guy. I mean,
you've had at least three dogs.
Oh yeah. No, we've had, my wife and I've been married 25 years and we've always had a dog. So yeah. Anyway, Jesse, my bulldog back then, my dad was not a dog person, but he loved Jesse the bulldog. And you know, always like, sometimes you just bring her and, bring her to the Pepsi Center, obviously Ball Arena, and then because Cronky's always had dogs, and like especially Josh had bulldogs. And so one time, and dad's like, hey, I took the dog, it's at the, I was like, oh, it's fine. I was working with the Avs too, so then I came back, then I saw him down the hall, and I was like, where's Jesse, the bulldog? And he's like, oh, like I said, he's not a dog person, he's like, oh, I don't know. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like upstairs in the offices, or is it, did you bring her down here? He's like, oh yeah, I brought her down here. And then, so we couldn't find her. So I was like, all right, well, she's not outside. He's like, no, she's in the building. So I start walking around, and then I'm walking around like towards like the visiting team. It was like a non-game day, and it was Edmonton was practicing, and Craig McTavish came out. He was coaching the Oilers at the time. And I had Mac T as a coach back then with the Rangers. And I'm like, Mac T, how are you? And he's like, yeah, it's great. He goes, it's freaking nuts in there. I was like, what's wrong? He goes, there's a dog in there. And I was like, oh, shit. And then I'm like a white bulldog. He's like, yeah, it's greatest little dog. And I was like, that's my dog. You know what I mean? Like, and then he's dying laughing. And I'm like, well, I don't want to go in there. He's like, no, come on in. Like, she won't come out. And I was like, all right. So I walked in there, and I swear to God, there must have been like 12 Edmonton Oiler guys on their hands and knees. And that's what it does, right? Because you don't expect dogs at a rink like the Avs today. You don't expect that. And guys were on their freaking hands and feet and playing with her. And she was going nuts, going in everybody's bags and jumping on the goalie pads. And she didn't want to leave, man. And I'm like trying to get her out. And everybody was dying because she wouldn't leave. And she was hiding like in the back by the showers. And she was having a ball. So, yeah, I mean, I love seeing, probably not the best thing to have is dogs in locker rooms, but As the Avs saw today, they go, I don't know what it is. It's special to see dogs in a locker room, and it's fun. And obviously today were service dogs and stuff. But, yeah, that's Jesse the Bulldog was an Edmonton Oiler for a day. You know what I mean? You know, so you have Avs for a day sometimes, yeah. And she was an Oiler for a day. So that was fun.
Bet it was a great day for her.
It was great.
All right. Lesson learned. Accidentally lose your dog at the rink and good things will happen potentially.
Everybody's blaming me for shaving still. I know it was an accident. It was a shaving accident. Look, not on purpose. I mean my 14-year-old never seen me without a beard, so he was like, whoa. So I didn't mean to.
McKinnon's point streak survived. That's what the streak survived.
I would have felt real bad. Now as far as the abs, like, yeah, I mean, I don't think I had anything to do with it. But you know what? If you do think so, then blame me. It's all good. I can take the blame. It's fine. Not my first time. Not my last time.
It's about time this pod got somebody superstitious on it, though.
I love it. I'm the most superstitious guy. You guys know that. I'm like, but I couldn't believe I did that. It was unreal. Man.
We've had dogs in the locker room. I'm sure you've had beer in the locker room before, too.
Buddy, I'm from a different era, you know.
Exactly.
From an era where the guys are smoking in the laundry room in between periods. So, or the back of the plane.
If you got beer in your locker room for your beer league, get yourself some Coors Light. It's the beer to chill with. Enjoy some belly rubs like Jesse with a Coors Light in one hand. It's the way to go. Go get yourself some Coors Light or stay at home. Get it delivered directly to you at CoorsLight.com/DNVR. Instacart will send you some Coors Light right to your front door. You don't even have to, well, I guess you have to go to the front door, but you barely have to get up off of your couch to get your Coors Light with Instacart. If you haven't had Coors Light, it's super easy beer to drink. Highly recommend it. Brewed right here in Golden, Colorado. Literally made to chill. The mountains turn blue on the can to let you know it's nice and cold and ready to drink. Again, Colorado local, so we tend to like it out here. I know a lot of y'all aren't from Colorado. Give Coors Light a try. It's the way to go. When it's time to chill, Coors Light is the beer I reach for. So when you want to hit that reset, grab the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door at CoorsLight.com/DNVR. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And then I don't think you can bet on the dogs, but you can certainly bet on the hockey game. Does anybody know the Avs record on dog day?
I don't know.
I don't either. Like,
buddy, since 2013, every day has been dog day for the Avalanche. All right.
Fair enough. I'm just because they do this like every year where they have the service dog day and they bring all the puppies into the locker room and everything. I'm curious what the record would be. It might be a decent betting angle. That's all I'm saying. Whatever it is you're betting on, do it with Bet365 and sign up with code DNVR365. When you use that code and bet $5 on any NHL game, you get $150 in bonus bets. So jump on it. Go bet on whatever you feel like. McKinnon's point streak. McKinnon to win the heart. McKinnon's other point streak. I don't know. You could bet on not McKinnon too, but come on. Where's the fun in that?
The NHL sent out a thing today of the six longest individual point streaks this season, and McKinnon was three of them.
That's so dumb.
Whatever, Nate.
Yeah, must be nice to be good at hockey.
It's not good.
Been a lot of dog days this year.
Go check it out. Go get with Bet365. Of course, when you do, you must be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER today. Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast, and we have a Bet365 Never Ordinary Top 5 for you. Getting into the main topic of today, and that is the top contenders in the NHL.
The anti-dogs?
Yeah, the non-dogs. The overdogs?
Sure, overdogs.
Sure. Number 5. Yaya wasn't ready. There you go. The Dallas Stars.
God.
Suck it.
Is the Dallas Stars on this list credit to Dallas, or is it more of an indictment of teams like Winnipeg and Vancouver?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it is because Winnipeg, the recent stumble. But with Vancouver, I think there's also just no postseason trust.
Yep.
And so I've got Dallas here because I just think they're really well built. Their forward core is really good top to bottom. There's no real weakness there. Defensively, they are very good, and they are playing wonderful defensive hockey as a team right now. And Jake Oettinger hasn't been very good, but
there's a guy you trust to get it back together.
If there's a guy that you, he's one of those guys that you believe has it in him, that on any given day, if that switch gets flipped, the Stars become very hard to beat.
True.
So I'm kind of a Stars-ish believer-ish right now. But also, this is a harder list to make than you would think, because when you start looking at which teams do I truly believe in right now, there's not many of them. There's not one of them, not one single one from the Pacific Division.
That is true.
The only other team that's not going to be in spots 1 through 4 that I really would have been happy putting on this list is Carolina.
Sure.
And I just think that this is, once again, it's like a lack of trust that, hey, they don't get out of the second round very often, and when they do, they get swept.
Very consistently proven who they are in the playoffs.
Right. Like, they're a tough out, but they're always an out. Yeah. And that's...
Yeah.
That's one reason why I'm kind of still on the fence about buying into Carolina as the mean machine. Like, that. They've finally, is Jake Guentzel enough to have cracked that formula? So maybe he is, I don't know. But right now, as of last night when I made this list, nothing's changed today. I'm a bigger believer in Dallas and their formula over what Carolina has.
Well, I mean, I don't know why I've never disliked the Dallas Stars. Well, I mean, first of all, in the 90s, they were awesome, you know, with us in Detroit. But I didn't have hatred for them. I kind of admired them, so to speak. It's weird, you know what I mean? Where, you know, you hated the Red Wings, but I didn't hate the Dallas Stars. You know, I was like, I thought Modano was awesome and Hatcher's. You know, I mean, those guys were so good. Eddie Belfour was a good. I just didn't dislike them, you know what I mean? You want to beat them, but it's not a hatred, you know?
Sure.
And it kind of went away, and then I don't know why, but in that crazy bubble, it just started to bug me. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, as a hockey fan, the Dallas Stars started to bug me. And then they beat the Avs, right, in the bubble. That's who beat the Avs. And I was like, you know. And I just can't buy their stock. I don't know why. I have one big question mark for them, and it's more like Jake Oettinger. You know what I mean? He's an awesome goalie. I really like him, but he's had his struggles. And I don't know. I don't know which Jake Oettinger you're going to see down the stretch here and in the playoffs, and that could be a very big factor on how they do this postseason. You know, not that it's a big secret what I just came up with, but I'm just saying. But I don't know why. They bug me. I can't pinpoint it, but not my favorite team. But I see why they're there, because they're good, you know?
Yeah.
So I agree with them being there. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that I just, they just annoy me. They're not for me. Yeah, yeah.
I do wonder about the experience level of some of their budding forward stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had, you know, Robertson been on a decent playoff run for a couple of years. Would be accurate, I would say, for that. So there are a couple of concerns there, but
for sure
hard to argue against the quality hockey that roster's been playing.
Oh yeah, this season. They've been good.
We'll see. Moving on to number 4.
Maybe the thing I'm most iffy about with the Stars, their schedule is so cream puffy down the schedule or down the stretch.
Not geared up. Yeah.
It's not great playoff prep.
Yeah, fair. Boston Bruins at number 4. A team that I think most people, certainly I, was expecting to take a bigger step back than they have this season. But a recipe for success, if you want to be a quality playoff team, starts in net. And yeah, they've got a pretty good solution right there.
Yeah. I really didn't want to put them in the top five either. Rudo insisted, and I didn't want to keep fighting him. So, my problem with the Bruins is that they have 15 overtime losses.
Totally fair.
They are where they are because they've lost in the right way, and I think that that is that's a thing that I get on the Stars about a lot.
I was going to say, funnily enough, something that Dallas typically does.
Yeah, and 15 OTLs has really carried the Bruins, and once they after their like blistering hot start, they had a great out of the gate once again into December.
Sick.
They have not been nearly as good, and they are buoyed by a ton of overtime. So that makes me iffy on the belief that they're going to be able to win four playoff rounds, because they are where they are in the standings because of a lot of 3-on-3 hockey. And that is, I mean, we all agree. Look, I'm the only one in here that actually likes 3-on-3, but we all agree that it's not real hockey. So, you know, it's not it doesn't do anything for playoff prep. You're just trying to get through a regular season. But if you're great defensively and you have a couple of guys that just get it done consistently for you, you know, the Brad Marchands and the David Pasternak's, and then you're awesome in net.
It's Pasternak and then goaltending for me that really have sold me on it. A guy that I think a lot of people saw in Pasternak as a great goal scorer, no doubt. But could he really do it without the pieces of Bergeron and Krejci around him?
Mm-hmm.
The answer to that is yes.
Turns out, correct. He is actually elite.
Yep. So.
But I agree with you, though, about the OT. Like, you know that. Like, I think it's exciting, but I freaking hate it because it's not hockey. You know what I mean? Like, it's just not. And you see guys that produce and, you know, 3-on-3, but it doesn't exist. Like,
yeah.
How many times have we seen 3-on-3? Not in overtime this year yet? Not even a second, right? We haven't seen a second.
I don't think so, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's got to be. It's so weird. It's so rare. You know
it's
what I mean?
Such a huge part of determining the regular season standings.
Yeah.
The second that the postseason starts, and it doesn't exist anymore.
And that's why for me, again, I'm still pissed off that took the red light out. So for me, it's...
You're still wrong about that.
I know I'm wrong, but I can still be pissed. You know what I mean? For me, that's like, it doesn't exist because you're right. As soon as the buzzer goes, game 82 doesn't exist. It's out the window. So for me, it's just stupid, you know. But is it exciting? Yeah, it's exciting. Boston, here's what I'm going to say. Last year, I thought they were going to not make the playoffs. Next thing you know, they have the most freaking points in the history of the league. So what do I know? And then this year, you know, you lose Krejci, Bergeron. Like, oh, they're not making the playoffs. And again, yes, you're right. You know, the points that they're accumulating. But goaltending's been superb. And I think their coaching's great. Monty does a good job. And I go, my buddy Joe, you guys know I'm tight with Joe. And, you know, their special teams are awesome. You know, Chris Kelly, Joe Sacco, those guys do a great job, you know. Goalie Bob Essens has been there like 9, 10, 11 years now.
Their program is unbelievable.
That's what I mean. There's some stability there. I think Sweeney does a good job. And Cam, it's a great franchise. I think the league is healthy when, again, the Boston Bruins are a good team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Do I think they're going to do damage in the playoffs? I don't know. I mean, after last year, you're like a little gun shy now, right? You know, because they're so good. And all of a sudden, Florida just.
The one thing that I think helps them, if they manage to sneak out the division on top of Florida, I think their first round series is going to be. It's kind of a walk. What is it? Like Washington?
Detroit.
Right. Like it's. I just think that it's a. It puts them in a really good position to win a round or two. And I'm just, when you have goaltending that good.
It could always happen.
And I'm going to say this, like, I use 96 always as an example, right? First Habs Cup. You need, obviously injuries are a big factor in how you do in playoffs. You got to be peaking at the right time. There's a lot of luck to involve that we tend to forget, you know, because your matchups are are big. I mean, and I'm not saying the Avs wouldn't have won in 96, but I'm saying Pittsburgh falling that year, you know, probably one of the things best teams in the league.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? All of a sudden you face Florida and you know what I mean? It's an easier opponent. Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, so there's some luck involved and the matchups have a lot to do with it. And that's why you go back to 10, 15 minutes ago about like, you know, do you kill yourself trying to win the division? Well, yes and no, right? You know, that's why. That's because, you know, you just have different matchups and just easier path sometimes to get to the cup. I know you want to beat the teams. And you want to beat the best to be the best. I get that. But sometimes your road is a little rockier than others.
The other part of this is what happened last year has created that gun-shy attitude you brought up. People aren't expecting it from the Bruins this year, no matter what. They just keep being really, really, really damn good.
Yep.
Freaking Marchand.
They've got that won the President's Trophy last season buff, too.
Yeah, they've got that, like, all right, you don't want to believe in us?
Yeah.
Great. We'll believe enough in ourselves for the rest of y'all, and we'll turn y'all into believers.
I think Boston's biggest problem is there are two other teams in the East that we believe in more than them.
Yeah, that's a great point.
And that's with starting with our number three team on this list in the New York Rangers. I'm going to let you guys talk about this one and step up. For whatever reason, this always happens when Yaya is our producer, but I guess he just distracts me.
What I do?
You didn't do anything, Doug.
I'm chilling here, having a good time in the chat. And then I'm the bad guy.
Yeah, so with the Rangers, it's just that they've got star players at all three levels. You know, Artemi Panarin is having a borderline Hart Trophy kind of season.
Yeah.
Adam Fox is once again an elite number one D. And Igor Shesterkin has not had the kind of season that Igor Shesterkin's reputation would suggest. But he's still really damn good. And if you're really good on special teams and you're really good at 5v5 and you have elite talent at all three layers of your roster, you're pretty damn good. And we're going to see him here in Denver tomorrow. That's a real good hockey team. Mika Zibanejad is smooth as hell. He does everything. Vincent Trocheck has been really good for them. I don't look at the Rangers roster and feel like here's a really obvious weakness.
Yeah. I mean, they've done it right, right? They stripped it down at the right time. They were honest with their fans. They, you know, they changed.
Yeah, they win a couple of lotteries.
Yeah. And, you know, and they get.
Have it gone great for them, honestly.
And Chris takes over, Drury, you know, like former Avs and freaking all GMs in this league now, former Avs, like. Blakey, Drury, Sackey, whatever. It's nuts, but from that 0-1 team. But they've done a good job. And you're right. They're well balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah, Shesterkin hasn't been the greatest, but he's still freaking good, right? You know, you can still turn it on and see where he can go. And then there's also, like you said, Adam Fox. And then there's I got it, you know. But I'm just seconding what you said, which is, I think they've done a masterful job, and I think that they got the pieces, and then the Lafreniere's now are having a good year, and you know what I mean? He's ready to, you know.
He's been good this year.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You're taking the next step, and when do you take next steps? In playoffs. I mean, for me, that's how you become a player, is how you do in playoffs, and I think that's how you measure yourself. So it'll be fun to see them tomorrow night, but it'll be fun to see them down the stretch there and then in the playoffs for sure.
And these two teams have played some really, really fun games against each other the last couple of years. Yeah. So I'm excited for it.
I'm excited to be back in my seat.
You careful with the cables? The blue cables specifically?
Oh, shit.
There you go. That will take us all out and we will not have a show.
That'd be pretty fun.
Honestly, I ruined the whole show.
Chaos.
That'd be good stuff. All right, moving on to number two, which is the team that this show is about.
Yep.
You don't hate the Rangers.
I don't hate the Rangers.
I do.
I'm happy for you.
Go Isles.
Not a contender on this list.
Nope.
At least you're realistic about it.
I always have been.
I think let's start here. The Avalanche would not be this high on the list if not for their trade deadline.
Yeah, I don't know that they would have been on this list if not for the trade deadline. And obviously coming off a 9-game winning streak, this list is about who are the cup contenders today in this moment, right now.
Yep.
The Avs belong on that list. I think they belong right where they are on this list.
I
think you could even make a good argument for them being number one just because their goaltending has
improved,
has played significantly better over the last month and a half. You have, again, you have an MVP caliber player as your number one C. You have a Norris Trophy finalist in headed for another one in Cale Makar. And the layers of your roster are very, very good now after the deadline. You're very multi. You can win any style of game that you're in. Your special teams have been very good. Obviously, last night was a fiasco, but not boiling it down to one game, your special teams have been very good.
Yeah.
Your discipline has gone way up. You've gone from a team taking 5 penalties a game to a team taking just a shade over 2.
Yep.
Every aspect of their game has gotten better. As the lineup has improved since the deadline, it does not feel like the quality of their play taking the jump that it has is a fluke. 9-game winning streaks are just one of those, you know, stuff happens like that sometimes.
Yep.
But the way that they have played the game and the way that they have been so good in playing with the lead, playing without the lead, they've just been good in all the situations.
I do believe this should be in the top 5. I do believe their plays dictated that they should be there. I don't think that you guys, I mean, because I had nothing to do with the top 5, so I'm blaming you guys. That doesn't make you homers to put them there. I think they do belong in the top 5. They do belong at 1 or 2. I mean, for me, I strongly believe in the Avalanche this year, especially after the deadline. I'm not going to reiterate everything you just said because it's, you know, we talk about this every night. Very lucky to see those types of players play here day in and, you know, day out, which is a privilege. But have them at number 2 is fine. And then, you know, they do belong there. They're going to cause some damage.
I would put it this way. If you think we're homers for putting the Avs at number 2, fine. If you don't have the Avs in your top 5, you don't watch the Avs.
That's it. No, they well said. Well said.
Or you're that one guy on Twitter.
That one guy. It's never right.
It's, yeah. AJ put it very well. All of the deadline acquisitions feel like they've just filled the holes that the Avs needed filled so effectively. And the resurgence of goaltending, which probably goes hand in hand with going out and getting guys that help fill those holes.
Yeah.
It's easy to see the contender that
they are,
let alone actively becoming. But that does not make them our number one on the list. I think we're all in agreement that the Florida Panthers
look awesome,
should be the favorite to win the cup today.
It's funny because I just like strongly made the point of it's about what it is today.
Yeah, I know they've lost 5 or 6 yeah, games.
And the Panthers are like like 500 in the last 10. Like you're like,
AJ, come on.
But also, you know, when you don't have Sasha Barkov in your lineup, it's
that does affect things.
Yeah. So I just think that everything about Florida right now has been impressive.
Yep.
You know, they have watched guys like Gustav Forsling's jump to a legit top pairing defenseman.
Yep.
Enormous. It's game changing for them.
Remember him in Rockford, man.
Yeah, I remember him being bad in Chicago and being like, for real with this guy?
Yeah, I remember writing about him.
Did not think he was going to look like this one day. And then you're that forward core. It's exceptional.
Unbelievably good forward core. That is made better even with their deadline. Not as big of swings of the Avs, but you go out and get a Tarasenko to help the offensive side of that forward core, as if it needed offensive
add
help.
Add Vlad Tarasenko to Sasha Barkov and
Mac Kachuk, Matthew Kachuk,
Sam Reinhart, Carter Verhaeghe, Kay. Yeah. They just do everything well. And Sergei Bobrovsky has been awesome this year.
Yeah, that
was awesome.
He's since the playoffs last year, he found his game somewhere. Somehow he had lost it in his luggage somewhere. Yep. And then last year just found it, you know.
Yep.
You gotta remember, like, he lost his job to Alex Lyon last year. You know what I mean? He was not even in the net the first few games of the playoffs. So he's been awesome. But what I like about the Panthers is they're so well constructed.
Where's the hole in that line?
I like the Avs, the way they're constructed now, not a month ago, but now. Yeah. And a little bit of I'll say the same thing, but Florida, even more so, is if you want to play like a good old Donnie Brasco, like fucking brawl, right? Yeah, you know I mean,
you got
like,
Sam Bennett's on
there
that line.
There you go. Right? They're in it. They're in it.
Yep.
They don't care. Those guys don't care. And then if they want to paint a Picasso, they got the Reinhardts. And you know what I mean? And they're well constructed. And anything you want to do and you want to yell at them or scare them, or they'll be like, yeah, sure, whatever. We'll do it your way. We don't give a shit. You know what I mean? And I think the Avs are built that way now. You know what I mean? So they can – anything you want, they'll do. You know what I mean? Sure, they'd like the track meet. You know what I mean? Like, well, why would you try that against the Avs? You know what I mean? Like, so,
yeah.
But you want to rough them up a little bit? You want to, you know, like scare them or whatever it is? Then the Avs are there. The Avs are, and it's the same thing with the Panthers. You know what I mean? Like, you saw it a little bit yesterday. Like, Sammy lost his marbles again yesterday. I'm trying to remember who it was, Lindholm. Yikes. Yeah, that was not fair.
He'll see red mist sometimes for sure.
Yikes. But anyway, great pick there at one. Former Avs, Sylvain Lefebvre, coaching the D-Cor, doing masterful job there. Friend of the show, been on the show with us.
That D-Cor, I think at times this year there were questions because you had injuries to Ekblad and Montour, and Montour came back and started really slowly. But he's picked it up now. He's started to produce again for that lineup. Ekblad has always been rock steady when he's healthy and in the lineup. Again, there's just no weaknesses to that lineup. You have a third line that has Sam Bennett and Evan Rodriguez on it. Like, it's just quality top to bottom.
Yeah.
So,
and they lost a big piece of their locker room, you know what I mean, a little bit in Gouda cheese there. You know what I mean? Like, it was a big loss for them, but you know, they just moved forward and, you know, just kind of went with it. You know what I mean? And, you know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, what a job they did with Gouda cheese last year. You know what I mean? And then signed that big contract in Anaheim. And so I like stories like that. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, we don't need any more love for Radko Gudas on this podcast than we've already had.
He's awesome, dude.
Gouda cheese.
That is our Bet 365 top five. Never ordinary. For this show, we're also brought to you by the folks down over at American Financing. Right now, great time to get back into the market if you are looking to buy a new home. Late rates are back into the fives, so you can get some of the best prices and deals that you've been able to get for a very long time. And American Financing can get you into the market right away. You can get a pre-approval letter in less than 24 hours. So get with them. Get with their salary-based mortgage consultants, which are in it just to get you into a home for as little as $1,000 down. They're great at what they do. They're local here to Colorado, but they're also available in all 50 states. So jump in with American Financing today. They've helped thousands of customers save real money and put themselves into better financial positions for the last 25 years. Call American Financing today. All it takes is a 10-minute, no-obligation phone call over at 303-695-7000. Let them know DNVR sent you over to 303-695-7000 or go to americanfinancing.net/DNVR. NMLS 182334, NMLSconsumerAccess.org. APR for rates in the five start at 6.799% for well-qualified borrowers. Call 303-695-7000 for details about credit costs and terms. And you can also be sure to make sure you hit up Red Hawk Roofing when you get that new house. Red Hawk will come out. They'll give you a completely free inspection. Yeah, what was that? Yeah, yeah.
The Hawk for Red Hawk Roofing.
Oh, I like it.
Completely free roof inspection. They'll get up there. They'll take pictures. They'll show you everything that's going on up there. If there are problems, they can get it completely fixed up for you. They're local here to Colorado too. So go to redhawkroofing.com to get a hold of them today. They even do 24/7 emergency service. So even if something bad does happen and you spring a leak, they have you covered over at Red Hawk Roofing. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. You look at these contenders.
Look at that.
What?
Somebody wanted to sign Little.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Now you can't see it.
Yeah. I was going to say, now you can't read it, which is.
Okay, we saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think there's something specific that separates these teams from some of the teams that didn't make this list? Is it goaltending? Is it experience? Is it not? Is each team a little bit different?
Yeah, I think experience is a factor for all of them because they're all teams who have won some rounds.
Yep.
In the last handful of years. I think that there's an array of strengths here, but almost all of them start with they have an elite forward somewhere, like a true top end elite forward. Dallas would be the team that I don't think has one.
Even then, Robertson's a 100-point guy.
Robertson has not been that guy this year.
Sure.
Rupe Hintz has not been that guy this year. Dallas kills you. They are death by 1,000 paper cuts. To me, Dallas is a supercharged, legit-ass version of what Seattle was last year. And their best guys are way better than any of Seattle's guys were.
That's true.
So they could have that kind of series. They just haven't played that well this year. Not to say that they haven't been really, really good, but they haven't been elite. Miro Heiskanen has been their best player, in my opinion. He's been unbelievable. That guy rocks. He should be a Norris finalist, in my opinion. Sorry to Noah Dobson, Evan Bouchard, whatever. But
nah, Bouchard shouldn't be.
No. Heiskanen is just, he's awesome. He does everything for them. Colorado and Dallas don't have the goaltending, and these other teams
do
have guys in net
that are having better seasons at the very least.
Yeah, and have given you great runs.
Yeah.
Great runs. Ottinger's done it too, but it was one 7-game series.
He's really been a
2 years ago
average goalie since then.
Yeah, it's that one series that has carried his reputation for multiple years now.
Yep.
And Georgiev was great last year, and he's been kind of poopy this year. It's gotten better, but he had a forgettable postseason. It wasn't good or bad. It was fine.
Yep.
He was like fifth on their list of problems in the Seattle series, but. An elite guy somewhere on all those rosters that I think elevates. Because with Boston, Pastrnak and McAvoy.
McAvoy's the best.
Those guys are both incredible at what they do.
Yeah.
But with Boston, where's the center depth?
Yeah.
You know, with Dallas, where's your true high-end talent?
Yep.
With Colorado, it's goaltending.
Yep.
With the Rangers, I think center depth is a kind of a question. I think they checked the boxes as well as Florida, but they've also had some really weird runs this year where they have played bad hockey.
Yeah. The Rangers are a weird team for me. Obviously, look, that defense has Adam Fox. Even if he isn't living up to the Norris finalist level this year, he's still an incredibly good defensive hockey player in the NHL. I do wonder about that team's downstream depth, though.
Yeah.
And like, if your depth is your problem, you're a really good hockey team, right? If you're talking about bottom pairings and fourth lines, you don't really have any real problems. But I do wonder if they have enough to get it over the hump.
Well, and with the Rangers, you know, the Lindgren injury, Trouba's
yep.
had his issues this year. You are talking about, like, okay, those are literally big pieces of their defense. Mm-hmm. How do they manage without those, you know, if it gets any worse?
You're in real trouble if it gets worse.
Yeah. So how sticky are they defensively? Because they're a team that I wonder, how reliant are they on special teams?
Sure.
You know, like, how reliant are they on, okay, we've got to get a goal on the power play every game, otherwise we can't do this in 5v5.
We've seen year on year on year that's just not sustainable in the playoffs.
It's too hard to do, and especially in a 7-game series. As series progress, power plays get called less, deeper into series. But also, teams have multiple games of, here's exactly what you've been doing to be successful. Here's us tightening the screws. The coaching staff.
What else you got in the bag?
Yeah. The coaching staff adjustments become a big deal. And it's not my favorite area for the Rangers.
I would say that's fair.
I don't love their bench. So one area where I think Boston, of these five teams we were talking about, Boston, Dallas-ish, depending on the year, and Colorado, their coaches are good.
Locked in. Yep.
You know, Pete DeBoer drives me crazy as Jared Bednar's personal kryptonite, but like,
yeah,
you also see he has struggled in series to
make the correct adjustments.
Yeah, to dig his teams out of it at times. And it's not that Jared Bednar's been world class at it. He has gotten out of the second round one time.
Well, honestly, maybe the one weakness you see in Florida too is the bench boss.
Yeah, I'm not the world's biggest Paul Maurice fan. I think he's really blah, but everything that's happened in Florida since he got there just hasn't made sense to me. So I'm just kind of getting out of the way.
Just let Florida be Florida.
Yeah, I'm just like, I don't understand. Whatever.
It's impossible to predict. I would say your odds of a team not even on this list winning the Stanley Cup are pretty close to as good as any of them that are on the list. Sure. So don't overthink it. But
yeah, I'm not buying this Nashville stuff.
Oh, no, I don't buy that at all.
When you get into a 7-game series, they don't have any depth.
Yep. It's a team on what, like a 17-game point streak or something?
Yeah.
Like,
but it's pretty awesome.
It's super cool. But the second that streak ends, it's like the bubble the 07 Rockies. Like,
well, and it's like the Oilers had a 16-game winning streak earlier this year.
Yep.
Before and after that, they've been
mediocre.
They're okay.
Yeah.
Like, on any given night, they can be really dangerous. They can beat anybody, and they can lose to anybody.
And great for Nashville. You've played amazing. You've played yourself into the playoffs. You're gonna make it. Can you keep this up for another 3 months?
Yeah,
to win the cup.
Like, you talk about the top of that roster. Phil Forsberg's had a resurgence.
Yeah,
Roman Josi's been incredible over the last month and a half. UC Saros finally woke up. Great. That's it, though. There's no second layer on that roster. Ryan O'Reilly is your 1C. Well, I understand it worked in St. Louis once upon a time, but that was also
a lot of years younger.
That was a career year for that guy, and there's nothing behind him. Tommy Novak is going to get eaten up in a 7-game series.
Yep.
Your boy.
I like Tommy Novak, but in a 7-game series, Colton Sissons is taking key matchups and stuff. Like, there's nothing there for the Preds.
Arguably the best playoff Nashville performer from the last time they were in the playoffs plays for the Avs now.
Trent in.
It's true.
I know that was a different Nashville team.
But Nashville, Winnipeg is one that you wonder, their offense has really fallen off the table. Defensively, they're starting to show some real cracks. And Connor Hellebuyck.
My biggest problem is Hellebuyck, because we've seen this year after year after year. You get later into the season,
he wears down.
Hellebuyck just kind of falls off.
Like, he wears down because they overplay him.
Yep.
I don't know.
Eric, you got a dark horse?
In Vegas, man.
Well, that's hardly a dark horse. That's an LTIR horse.
Yeah, I know, but still, they're in the wild card. You know what I mean? So it's, and they're the champs. I mean, I don't care what people say. I said that about the Avs last year. They're the champs. Until you get dethroned, you're there. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I just feel good about the Avs in the West. And I mean, I do believe in Florida and the East. I mean, who knows, man? The dark horse, like the Washington Capitals. I'm kidding. No, I was kidding. How can he be minus 30 right now? Yeah. Goal differential. Being a playoff spot, it's great. It's absurd. No, I don't think this is the year of the dark horses. I think it's the year of the top seeds and, you know, the best teams. And this is what I'm thinking this year.
The gap feels a little too big this year.
Yeah. I think if you're looking for a dark horse, it's Tampa. Because Kucherov, Kucherov, those guys are, they are just a seven-game knife fight.
Yeah.
In the postseason.
Yeah.
And if Andrei Vasilevskiy gets it going at any point at all, you are in trouble.
If there's one player in the NHL you don't want to play an elimination game against, it's Andrei Vasilevskiy.
Scary.
And they went away in that Toronto series last year. They threw that series. Yeah. They had leads in games, and they just kept coughing them up. Is that the new norm for them? I don't know. Stamkos' last ride in Tampa? That's a team that you can very easily talk yourself into being like, that scares me.
Yep.
Their depth is a big
pick,
problem.
Honestly, that's a good pick.
Their depth is a problem. Sergachev's injury is a huge loss for them. They did not replace him on defense. But guys that have walked the walk as often as they have are not ones that you should be comfortable counting out in a seven-game series.
Yep.
Especially in kind of a weakened entire field where you don't look around and go, yeah, those guys are incredible. Your best team this year is going to be a 115-point team.
Yeah. Yep.
Maybe, you know, not one of these years
super
where
there's
three teams that are 118 points or better or whatever. Like, yep. Everybody, it's a vulnerable field this year. I think that's what makes it fun, unless you're one of the favorites, because then you're like, God, just don't get us that one matchup. That one matchup.
Yep. It's got to work out for you. No one's saying Andrei Vasilevskiy can't have bad games, but go look up his record in elimination games. Yeah, incredible.
How did Andrei Vasilevskiy do in games 3 through 6 in that Stanley Cup final? He was great.
Yep.
So give me a break with this. Yeah, he got lit up in game 2. But he was awesome the rest of that series.
It literally took the Avs a 2-1 win to win the cup over that guy.
Like Andrei Vasilevskiy got embarrassed in one game and was really good in the others.
Yep.
Because that's Andrei Vasilevskiy is really, really good. And he has an unreal postseason career. Yep. So I don't care about that one game.
That's all I really had planned for today. Anything else from you guys? No. All right.
I haven't eaten today. I want to go home.
All right. Before we get out of here, I do got to let you know. Great time to become a DNVR diehard. You get access to a bunch of exclusive content, including Eric just did a video on Sean Behrens. Go check that out if you're an Avs prospect fanatic. And we have a bunch of other stuff planned coming your way over the next month or so. So keep your eyes peeled for that. Of course, becoming a diehard gives you a bunch of other awesome stuff too, including a shirt that comes with your membership. Discounts at the locker, discounts at the bar, discounts at DNVR events too, access to our Discord, a whole bunch of other stuff. So consider becoming a DNVR diehard today. And, you know, it helps support us, which is cool too. We like being supported. We appreciate y'all. And then go get yourself some Illegal Pete's for a little bit of late lunch here. Illegal Pete's, amazing. We had it catered here the other day. Their food is so good. I could eat their burritos every day of my life.
Having it again tomorrow.
There you go. Bam, bam. Easy life. Illegal Pete's in the house. Go get yourself some. Go to one of their 12 locations. Happy hour from 3 to 8 p.m. if that's your thing, too. Also a great place to pregame for the DNVR bar. One just a couple blocks down the road. All right. That's it. We're out of here. We appreciate all y'all for this off-day show. We are, of course, back tomorrow. Pre-game, watch-along, post-game for the Avs versus Rangers game. Should be a fun one. We hope to see you there, and we'll talk to you later.
You You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.